This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 736. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Kee Kam and I'm Wong Shao Ning. Now, in about 30 minutes, as usual, after the 8 a.m. news bulletin, we're going to have the breakfast grill. And who is in the hot seat today, Keith?
Professor Steve Keen, he's the author of the New Economics, A Manifesto, and Philip C will be talking to him. Professor Keen is an Australian economist, and his book is about creating alternative and realistic economics for a world that is trying to recover from the effects of the pandemic. He also asked him whether raising rates is still effective in tamping down inflation, and why the study of economics need a major reformation to intertwine with energy, environment, and social media. Good lessons, I think, we can pick up from that.
Yeah, so basically it's a reframing of how we are looking at economics, right? So do tune in. Philip C is going to have that conversation. That's going to be happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. But in the meantime, we shift our attention to banks, and in particular for this moment, Singapore, because all three Singapore banks reported their second quarter earnings earlier this week, showing an improvement in their net interest margins. This is on the back of the Monetary Authority of Singapore being one of the first in Asia to tighten policy in anticipation of inflation. Now, they have raised it in October. They were the first to do so in October last year, which was then followed by three additional moves, which was rare for MAS, as they are only known to review rates twice a year.
In the region, central banks have also raised rates, with India, the Philippines and Malaysia following suit. China is the exception in the region so far, as they look to ease monetary policy to encourage economic growth in light of their lofty target of 5.5% GDP growth. But as the region starts to feel the impact of the slowdown in the US, Europe and even China, will the earnings of ASEAN banks come under pressure? Will the earlier strong momentum in profits start waning in the second half of 2022?
For answers to that, we turn to Thilan Vikramasingam. He's the head of Research Singapore at Maybank Investment Banking Group. Thanks for joining us again and good morning to you, Thilan. Now, with global markets, like we say, showing signs of a slowdown, generally, how will ASEAN banks fare? And, you know, which banking system is more vulnerable due to the weaker outlook?
Morning. It's great to be back on the show. Look, banks are cyclical. So a global slowdown or a recession could tip them into a down cycle. Now, having said that, we are also in this midst of an interest rate up cycle, which we haven't seen since the global financial crisis 14, 15 years ago. So this will actually support their margins to rise. And for most Southeast Asian banks, their net interest income is actually more sensitive to margins than to loans. So you need to take into account the interplay between the slowing growth, but also the rising margins. Now, when we look back at history, we see that the banks which have had the strongest track records of delivering the least volatile returns, as well as the most consistent dividends, have tended to outperform during times like this. Now, and again, when you look at history, we see that the Malaysian banks and the Singaporean banks have tended to fare better during times like this, while the Thai banks and the Vietnamese banks have been a little bit more volatile.
So if we go back like a little bit further, 25 years ago, we had the Asian financial crisis. How healthy are the banks in ASEAN now? What is the quality of their balance sheet and the level of capitalization? Have they learned anything?
So the regional banks are at a lot better shape today than during the Asian financial crisis or even the global financial crisis. If you look at their provisions to non-performing loans, they're amongst the highest levels compared to the past downturns. In fact, if we look at some of the Indonesian banks and the Vietnamese banks, the provision levels are, 50% or 100% higher than what they had going into the previous crisis. Even when you look at capital adequacy ratios, they're comfortably high. So I think the regional banks are in a lot better shape. They have a lot better buffers going into this uncertainty.
Okay, I want to come back to asset quality in a minute, but let's talk about these rate hikes, right? Because it looks inevitable in this region as central banks march towards monetary policy normalization. But what does this mean for banks in ASEAN? I want to know who stands to actually benefit.
Yes, I mean, I think if you look at how we are seeing the region, we're expecting benchmark rates to rise quite significantly in the Philippines, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Singapore. And this will actually be very supportive for banks in terms of pricing up their loans and overall asset yields as well. So if you look at the region, the large domestic banks who have a very strong and low-cost CASA deposits, so these are the current account and savings account deposits, they will actually benefit the most.
Okay, but what about loans growth? Because that's always an indicator of how an economy is doing, right? So if we anticipate a gradual slowdown and perhaps a little chipping away at consumer confidence and sentiment, will this then be reflected in lower loans growth across the banks in the region?
I think in general, we are going to see slower loan growth than what we saw in than what we saw in 2021. So, I mean, I think that's a given. How much it will cool down will really depend on how much the region starts to slow. But as I said earlier, if you look at the banks across Southeast Asia, they tend to be a lot more sensitive to their net interest margins than loan growth. So I think the policy rate hikes that we are expecting and the Fed rate hikes that we are seeing, you know, these are some of the largest hikes that we've seen in decades. So I think that will help to offset some of the slowing loan growth around the region.
And something I noticed from the results of the Singapore banks, which was that contribution from wealth management actually dipped in the last quarter. And I think for a lot of banks, there's been a big push towards that, even here in Malaysia. Do you see this trend continuing in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we're seeing is a lot of wealthy customers not transacting, not trading, given the sort of uncertainty. So a lot of them are sitting on the sidelines. But what was also interesting from the Singapore Bank's results was a lot of the wealth management AUMs still continued to grow. So, you know, wealthy customers were still parking money into these banks. So I think it's a timing thing. So I think, you know, as market conditions improve, or at least you have some clarity on the direction where markets are going, you probably will see some of that coming back. Now, in terms of timing, you're probably looking more towards the end of the second half or next year when you'll have a little bit more clarity. But I think the slowdown, what we're seeing is in terms of fees, is not a structural issue. It's a timing issue.
With that said, Tilan, what is your call on the sector and why?
As I said in the beginning, I think the banks will have to deal with the pull of higher interest rates and the push of slowing growth. So we are neutral on the ASEAN banks as a whole, but we are overweight on the Malaysian banks and the Singaporean banks. And again, this is a lot to do with the historical track records in terms of delivering good returns as well as very strong dividend policies, which we think will help them outperform.
I always like to ask this question, the $1 trillion question. What are your top banking picks and why then?
I mean, across the region, we like banks that offer the least volatility in terms of their returns on assets, but also giving the best dividend visibility. So in Malaysia, we like Hong Leong Bank and RHB, who should see rebounding operating profits this year and also have the potential to write back some of their provision. In Singapore, we like OCBC and DBS, who should see their net interest margins get a boost from rising interest rates. But also, they are key beneficiaries of supply chains moving from North Asia to Southeast Asia, given the sort of integrated operations that they have. And in Indonesia, we like Bank Mandiri, who has very strong provision levels and is also starting to see the beginning of a loan growth cycle for them as well.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Tilan Vikramasingam. He's the head of research Singapore and Maybank Investment Bank. He's also covering the head of regional banks there. Now, some names that he picked out for Malaysia. He basically likes Malaysia and Singapore. Track record shows that it's quality, plus you can get yield. So for Malaysia, he likes Hong Leong Bank, RHB Bank. There probably will be strong yield and also some write-backs in terms of provisions. And in Singapore, OCBC and DBS are his top picks for net interest margins, strong and also beneficiaries of supply chain, while in Indonesia, have a look at Bank Mandiri. It's the start of a good loans cycle there. Some of the names that he picked out for the banking sector. But up next, we'll be speaking to Hawati Abdul Hamid from Khazanah Research Institute on elderly care. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.